I was thinking, as I was putting this message together, what happened was, there was a fellow who was in the hurricane. Remember Florence, the hurricane just a couple of weeks ago? Has anybody been in a hurricane? Anybody stayed? Anybody from the islands where you had to hug the coconut tree so you wouldn't get blown off or anything? Anybody cyclone or anything? Well, this fellow says, who was doing this thing, or I was reading it, he said the wind gets in your head because you, ooh, ooh. Wait a minute, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's howling and stuff. I don't know if that's what the wind sounds like. I looked it up online to hear winds of hurricanes, and I was listening to them in my own office. I was getting the shivers. I'm thinking, man, this is loud and nasty. This is nasty stuff. And this guy said it gets into your psyche. He's putting this plywood up on the house, and all that you're hearing is this, ooh, this wind. He knows what's coming, and it's not good. It's not good. So he's getting this plywood up, and he says it gets in your head. It gets in your brain, but it gets in your deep feelings. It gets in your fear. It gets in all parts of you, this wind, because something is going to happen that is not good. And as I was listening to this or reading this, I was thinking about the Holy Spirit. Now, not that he's a not good wind, but that he has the use of his name has been that he will come like a mighty wind. And I'm thinking as I'm listening to this, can you imagine on the day of Pentecost that here we are in this upper room, in this building, and the building is shaken by this mighty wind, by the mighty wind. Now, wind is weird. Wind is really weird because you can't see it. You can see the effect of it. You can see if a breeze or a very heavy wind blew through here, the chandeliers would start to shake. But you can't really see wind. You don't know where it came from, where it's going. We're going to get into the fall here. It's going to be windy days, and you're going to go out, and sometimes the wind's going to be blowing this way, and sometimes it's going to be blowing that way. You don't even know where it is or where it's coming from. So in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, ooh, a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit, like a mighty wind. He has many different names in the Bible. He is wind. He's fire. He has symbols. He's the dove. He's the spirit of truth. But this wind that we're talking about, this Holy Spirit wind, it has no shape. We don't know much about it, but we feel the effects of it. We feel the effects. So, and it's unpredictable because it's in spiritual matters. But just like this fellow who was putting the plywood up, which I believe he was one of those after the hurricane came that he said, what a mistake that was. I shouldn't have stayed. That was too violent for me. It was too much. But like an experience with a violent wind will shake you up, the experience with a Holy Spirit mighty wind will shake you up. It will shake you up because this is the Spirit of the living God who has decided to come and make his presence known among you. This is the Spirit of God that is going to get into your head, into your brain, and into other things. But then it asks a question. Okay, that's true. And I got this mighty wind. And it is coming into me. And it is into my psyche. And I understand that there's something dramatic going on. And there's some change in me. When we were born again, a measure of the Holy Spirit came into us. Now, some of us reacted calmly. Some of us jumped up and down, shout hallelujah. We all did different kind of things because this Holy Spirit presence came in. So we have this Holy Spirit, but what is he doing in us today after salvation? What is he doing and what does he want to do? So he must have a purpose other than just salvation. And here's one of the things that he does in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The disciples are talking to Jesus, and they're talking to him, when is the kingdom going to come? Now they were very, very tuned in to earthly things. When are you going to establish your kingdom? When is the world going to come to an end? When is this going to happen? When is the new order of things? And he says, okay, that don't worry about. Don't worry about that. That has nothing for you to be concerned with. Father God, when he's ready, will reveal it and do it. Don't worry about it. You know, I was thinking, it's like a lot of things in our life. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit, when he is going to bring back to mind much of what Jesus taught, it reminded me of being concerned about things for which we can't do anything about. There's concern about things that are not us to be concerned about. And the Holy Spirit is going to be the comforter. He's called a lot of things, but one of them is the comforter. So he said to them, Jesus said to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're going to receive power. What is this power? What is this power we're going to receive? And I was thinking that if there was an automobile accident out here and it knocked out the power pole, that the lights would go dim. Oh, what's going on? What's happening? Hey, Brother Jose, did you plug the wrong wire in or what? What's going on? Why did this all happen? And we would be looking for them to resume the power, to reconnect the power. So we are going to be connected to a very large power source. We're connected to a very large power source. So what are we going to do with this very large amount of power? What happens here? Well, it says that Jesus went on to say, you will be my witness. You will be my witness in Jerusalem and so on. So I am going to get this Holy Spirit power so I can be a witness. Now, what am I going to witness to? Well, the first thing I'm going to witness to, if you remember, when you're born again, your first thing that is asked of you is to believe in your heart and declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So you are going to have power to be bold in your presentation. You're going to have a little power to be bold. And I'm going to be able to testify as a witness. Maybe I was outside on the corner when that car came down and hit that pole. And I'm standing there, and I could see that, as we know, when you go out that back driveway, you don't make a left and you don't go across. You can only go down, all right? And I know that, and I'm standing there, and I see this car go this way, this car goes that way, and there's a collision, and one of them hits that pole. I am an eyewitness to an event that if somebody says to me, what happened, I can say, certainly, this car came down this way, this car came down that way, this is what happened and how that happened. I became an eyewitness. I am a witness. I am not repeating that, oh, I was in the church and I heard this bang, and when I went outside, I could see this car was this way and that car was that way. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you're going to be a witness. You are going to have a personal experience that you can relate to someone else. And sometimes you have to relate it to yourself, because I'm going to be able to testify and speak truth. An eyewitness. I experience it. It's not somebody else's experience. It's not somebody who told me that somebody told them that somebody that they knew at work had a sister who knew somebody who this happened to. No, this is going to be that I am a witness to something that God has given me the power to be the witness to, and will give me the power to live this life. And all as I want to do with this thing, this power, all as I want to do with this witnessing is to bring honor and glory to God. I do not need an ego. Now, when I say me, I mean us. I mean, this is using. We do not need to bring honor and glory to ourselves. We don't have to walk away from a spirit-filled experience. I did good. Oh, I prayed for that person to be healed, and they got healed. I did good. No, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're supposed to do. Oh, I was in this situation. I was in this prayer meeting, and it came to me to do this and that, and I'll tell you, I jumped up and down. Did you ever see me do a cartwheel? How many believe I can do a cartwheel? Oh, good. I want you to meet me later for faith meetings, because I do a cartwheel, I'd be a bag of bones laying over here. Anyway, so it's not to draw glory to me. It's not to glory, to draw glory to you. It's to give glory to God, that God is alive, that God is well, that God is on the throne, that God has given us what we need for successful Christian living, and God is going to do with us what we, now watch, he's going to do with us what we're willing to have him do. So we're going to have a problem here. We're going to have a little issue because of the willingness. See, God is going to give us spiritual gifts. So this Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12, he's going to give us some gifts. Now, these gifts are free, but they come with a cost. You're going to try to figure that out. They're free, but they're going to cost you something. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation. The Holy Spirit is a being, the third part of the Trinity, the Spirit of the living God. He exists as an entity, as a person. He is able to do certain things. He is tasked and assigned to do certain things, and he wants to do certain things with us. He's not kept from us. He wants to be in and among us. And this is going to be when he manifests himself. Manifests himself means he's going to show up. He's going to show us. He's going to show. And it's going to be for the common good. It's going to be bless me. It's going to bless you. It's going to bless others. It's going to bless people who don't believe in God. It's going to do all kinds of things because this Holy Spirit is going to bring this power with him. So it goes on to say, to one there is given the Spirit, through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kind of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. One Spirit, one God. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, here's my question to you. Do you want to be given a gift? Do you want to be given a gift? And why can't you be used in the gift of faith? Why can't you be used in a situation where God would say, this brother, this sister, you're going to be in a situation where I'm going to give you power. You're going to have faith that even you are not going to believe it. You are going to be able to say and do things that I'm empowering with, because it's not you. It's me that is giving you this, giving you this power. Okay, so you just hold steady. Be a willing vessel. All right? Remember that guy who knocked down a pole over here and the lights went out? Be a willing vessel. Take a lot of guts. The only way we can get the juice back into that church is you got to grab one end and grab the other end over here, and it's going to flow right through you. Yeah, that sounds great. I don't think so. Not with the electric. With the Holy Spirit, he wants to flow through us to accomplish God's work. We are the hands and feet of God. He is going to do things through us. To another, prophecy. To another, gifts of healing. And these gifts, he doesn't say that you're going to possess them forever. He doesn't say that you're going to possess them when you want to use them. He says that he's going to give these gifts severally as he will, as he has need. But he needs one other thing. And the other thing is a willing vessel. It's a willing vessel. Now, I know that some people, when you talk about spiritual gifts, they get a little put off by spiritual gifts. Whew. Man, Halloween's coming up. Is that what this is? Is that what these spiritual gifts are all about? Ooh. No. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about gifts. We're not talking. Don't get nervous. You know, people get nervous. And we're not talking about some form of, although it could be, you know, I feel it, the Lord telling me that I gotta get this. Oh, easy, man, easy. God's not deaf. You don't have to yell so loud. You know? But he's not nervous either, so maybe you can have a little emotion, you know. It depends, you know. But we're talking about us primarily in everyday life. We're talking about this not being an unusual occurrence. We're talking this power to be available to us as he sees fit as needed. So, I must, if you're new here, and we talk about spiritual power and faith and stuff, I've been here now almost a year, going close to that. We do not handle snakes. All right, this is not one of those type of churches. All right, is that right? Everybody wave at me. Don't wave a snake at me. Because sometimes these spiritual gifts are so misunderstood, sometimes faith is so misunderstood, that we get caught up in things that are not necessarily of God. God gave us spiritual gifts to equip us to give credible evidence of the reality of Jesus and his life's work and his death on the cross to make it real to us and to other people. So he's going to show forth who he is. A brother here was telling me a story and giving me testimony. Actually, I don't know that he thought it was testimony, but he was. He was talking about, it was a friend of his who had fallen away from the church, back to faith, in and out of faith. And when he must have called the good brother here, and this guy was at the table in his house or in the living room, and he's talking to this fellow, and he's talking about things of God and what the person had to do. And when he got done with the phone conversation, his family, who had been listening to him, said, "Where'd you get all of that from? Where'd you get that from? How could you talk that? That didn't even sound like you on the phone. It was your voice and everything, but the way you were talking to him, what was that?" Well, what was it? It was the Spirit of the living God. He will use us as vessels. He will give us what we need to say. He will help us through our infirmities. He will do things that will help us through our being concerned, afraid. He will give us what we need for that situation. I know a woman who goes to Kohl's. She went to Kohl's. And while she was there, she got this sense. Now, we got to watch sense, prompting, okay, with the Holy Spirit. He got this sense. She got this sense to go over to that side of the store. So she went over to that side of the store, and there was a woman in a wheelchair with a young lady with her. And, okay, Lord, I felt you prompted me over here. Now, what's going to happen? Now, are we ready? Are we going to pull this person out of the wheelchair and say, "Walk in the name of Jesus"? Well, we don't know. We don't know if that person had enough faith to do that. We don't know if that's why God sent her over there. So now the first thing that the person who goes over sees these two people and says, "Excuse me, would you mind if I pray for you?" Now, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was he filled Peter with boldness. Boldness. And that's pretty bold. Strangers. So the person, yeah. And this other person began to pray. And what happened was, not that the person got up out of the wheelchair, but that the caregiver, who happened to have been this woman in the wheelchair's daughter, all of a sudden she's weeping. Now, if you see people weeping in Kohl's, it's either because they got the 30% coupon, or they found that item that they wanted on sale discount, okay? But you don't usually find them weeping because somebody started praying. And this woman turns and says, "My mother in the wheelchair has Alzheimer's, and I just can't take it anymore." Well, the person who prayed said, "You can take it, because God knows about your situation, and he is concerned, and he is the God of all comfort." Amen. No lightning, no thunder, no big bolts, just a transfer of the love of God from one human to another human. Whether that woman was a believer or not a believer, who knows? But what we do know is, prompted by the Holy Spirit, one can be on the phone talking to a fallen away somebody, and give them the words of the living God. Somebody can be bold enough to walk across a store. Someone can do something that they don't normally do. They don't normally do it. So it's the common good. And when we bless others, guess what happens? We get blessed. We get blessed. We're the vehicle. We're the vessel. It comes right through us. So why would you want these gifts? Why would you want these gifts? Well, they're part of living a successful Christian life. We are all going to have downers in our life. We're all going to have situations where we get the repair bill for the car is way, way more than I ever thought. The doctor's report, the relationships, whatever. We will have stuff come into our life that we would consider negative and wish that it never happened. Well, I need a counterweight to that. And the counterweight to that is when I know that I am a vessel of the living God. When that person who is either in Kohl's or on the phone, when they know and they realize they have been used of God and that they are being a blessed vessel, now it doesn't mean that they're supernatural beings. It means that they are simply living out their Christianity, and in living out their Christianity, they are encouraged. They are encouraged. Yes, God is real. God is real. He worked through me today to do this thing. I know God is real. So when we go in a downer, we know that God is real. He's real. I will get through this. I know I can, because I know I have been in a relationship with God that is truth. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, wind, the advocate, the Spirit of Truth, another title, who goes out from the Father, he will testify, and you also must testify. You must testify. Not when you feel like it, not that when you think about it, but you must testify. And he says, I am giving you the power to testify because I'm making these gifts available to you. And when they are used through you, you will not have any problem testifying. You will be bold because I will give you boldness and take away the fear of men's faces. I will give you what you need in your life. I will speak truth to you, and I will drive it deep into that person's psyche. And it's me, not you. Don't worry about you. You just be the willing vessel. So this is what's going to happen. I want to live, and I'm sure that you want to live, a vibrant, exciting, spiritual life. We want to live, we don't want to be just, let's go to church on Sunday, ho-hum, and I hope everything is nice, ho-hum, and I like meeting the people, and the music's nice, and the worship's nice, and let's go home and just be our old self. No, we want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we are living a Spirit-filled life 24/7, big ways, small ways, every which way, doing things that, boy, that was bold of you to do that. It was bold of me to do it because I believed that the Lord would have me. But you were rejected. So was Jesus. So don't worry about it. I'm in good company. I was rejected. So, and you must also testify. So he's got free gifts, but they're going to cost us. How can it be free? It's going to cost us. Because he's putting it out and he says it's free. Well, what's the price? Well, the first price we talked about is boldness. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. So faith and boldness are interlocked. So this boldness is that we have faith, but we're going to have to go a little further for this daring faith. I should to entreat the Holy Spirit to let him know that I'm willing. I should spend some time in Bible reading. Amen. I should spend some time in prayer. Amen. I should be pleasing God in my thoughts and actions. So part of the cost is boldness, But then part of the cost is preparedness, that I am going to be good soil into which the Holy Spirit's power can flow. I can be. And now I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I got to be sensitive. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that I am an emotional person. I am also a logical person. I have feelings. I have thoughts. And I'm going to have to make room for the Holy Spirit in that mix. I'm going to have to make room for him. Well, I think, no, I don't want to know what you think. The way I feel, I don't want to know what you feel. I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to me, now we're getting there. We're getting somewhere. I believe that the right thing to do is this or that. But I don't know if I'm up to it. Okay? I don't know if I should be bold. I don't know if I should walk across the room. I don't know if I should say that to that person on the phone. I don't know. So I'm going to have to cultivate this relying on the Spirit and being guided by the Spirit and being obedient to the Spirit. Now, something happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Men, I will say this. If you have a saved wife, and wife, if you are saved, and unfortunately your husband is not, there is a portion of Scripture that says a man should listen to the concerns and cares of his wife. Now, sometimes wives are more spiritually sensitive than men. It's just the way it is. Sometimes women are more spiritually sensitive than men. That's just the way it is. I have a theory, but who cares? A lot of people have theories. Anyway, the theory is because women are nurturers and men are the hunters by culture. Generally, it's changed. But they have to have a different set of sensitivities to what's going on, where the nurturer, caregiver, mother has to have a greater sense of danger. And some of the discerning of spirits, some women are much better than men at it. And they can point out, don't do business with him. Don't do business with him. Why? He's a nice guy. Yeah, he's going to fleece you. Don't do business with him. They have an understanding somehow. But anyway, that's off the rabbit trail here. So, being obedient. Why would you, Brother Fred talked about, get these gifts at the yard sale. Why would you get a gift and give it to someone that you knew would take that gift and go, oh, wow, yeah, whoo, this is what I always needed. I've wanted this for the longest time. Pinocchio knows you are telling a lie. Yes, I will wear this tie next week to the office. I will take this tie and use it to wrap the trash. No, wait a minute. Why would you give a gift to someone who isn't going to use it? So why would the Holy Spirit come and fill you with a power that you're not going to use? So now we got this thing going on. So what does that mean? It means I got to signal, I'm available. I'm available. I want to be used. I got to signal that. I have to communicate that. I have to have that working in my heart. Okay? Now, there's a couple of hindrances. You may feel that you are unworthy to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because of your background, your newness, the things that you've done wrong or whatever. And I am here to deliver some good news for you. If you feel you are unworthy, the good news is you are. Mm-hmm. You're unworthy. I thought I'd let you know that. Now, the other good news is we're all unworthy. The Bible tells us we're all unworthy. See, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that's given us. Our only function is to be the vehicle to carry it out. So we can be whatever we want to be. That God is the selector of what gift he wants to give to, who he wants to give it to, at what time he wants to give it to. Ours is a willingness to be used of God. And when it was thinking about being unworthy, Jesus said, even if the people don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. So even if you're as dumb as a rock, you can be used. You can be used. So it's all willingness is a factor. So my question at this point is, are you willing to have God move upon you in a way that you can be used mightily of him? That's a simple question. It's a simple question, but with a difficult answer. Would you stand, please? Worship team. Now, so here's the price. Here's the price of the free gift. The price. Boldness. Availability. Used of God. Willing to be used when he wants you to be used, not when you think you want to be used. That we need to cultivate an awareness of the presence of God. That we are not going to put any conditions. Now listen, not any conditions on God. Wait a minute. You mean if I feel that I should call up that person that I have a little rub with and I should try to make it right? That I got to do that? No conditions on when the Holy Spirit begins to work on you. No observations of yours. No back and forth. Remember Gideon in the Bible? He kept on arguing. Oh, I'll put this fleece in. If it's wet, if it's dry, if it's up, if it's down. No, God says, you're filled with the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. And now I want to give you an extra measure. And I want to be in you and with you and through you. How many want that? How many want the Holy Spirit to be moving through them in a mighty and a dynamic way? How many want the Holy Spirit to fall upon them every day? How many want the Holy Spirit to be active in their life, on their job, and in their family? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Come on up and let's get prayed for. Come on up in front of us. That's what you want. Let's pray. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. We're going to pray. We're going to have the worship team play and we're going to pray. If that's you, come on up. We want to pray for you. If you want more of the Holy Ghost, come on up.